Chapter 6. Simply by His Presence. Zachnephane's step was lighter than usual that day in the second month of Dale Reckoning 1304, as he made his way through House Doerden. He hadn't been inside the main chambers in many days, as Malice had been keeping him busy with this task or that. It had surprised him how much being away had made him miss Drizzt. Oh, how Zack had rushed through those last tasks thrown at him, including traveling to the island of Donegarden to select a proper rothe for a house celebration meal, and going to Arachtinolith to deliver a long paper prepared by Maya Doerden explaining the names and preferences, food, drink, sexual, and execution, of the more common handmaidens Loth had been sending to Menzo Berenzon to answer the calls of high priestesses of late. Zachnephane had been as surprised by this task as the priestess who had opened the door of Arachtinolith, a startlement that had fast dissolved into a profound scowl. Men were not very welcomed at Arachtinolith, though a handful of matrons sometimes used men as couriers to the school just to show that they were important enough to thumb their noses at the unspoken rules. Zachnephane had spent a long 2 hours inside Arachtinolith, snake-headed scourges writhing all about him, angry glares from every priestess who saw him. His reputation preceded him. All in this school knew that the weapon master of House Doerden seemed to take special enjoyment in killing priestesses, high priestesses, even matrons. Yes, Malice had sent him there to dare someone, anyone, to strike at him. He was her bait, her proof that she was too important to anger. He didn't much like being used as such, of course, but as soon as he was dismissed by Sosumtu Beenri, one of the more powerful mistresses of Arachtinolith, he had sprinted from the place and left behind any ill feelings before his foot touched the cobblestones outside the spider-shaped structure's front door. Then he had collected the House Doerden commoner, sitting outside on the steps of Tir Bresh, and together they had run with all speed to the cavern's main exit, where Zack presented his exit pass to the guards. Out into the Underdark they went, silent as death, swift as a descending sword, going to fetch Deneen with all speed, leaving the commoner as Deneen's replacement. Zachnephane had been briefed on the route of Deneen's patrol group and knew these nearby caverns quite well. Still, it took them 3 full days to find the patrol, and it would take 2 more to get back to Menzo Berenzon's gate. Zachnephane pushed Deneen to make it back in 1.5 days, answering every complaint from the elder boy with a scowl that brooked no debate. When Deneen at last came to sort out the reason for the rush, he actually laughed at Zachnephane. "Drow men don't celebrate birthdays," he reminded. "He is a boy, not a man. He is not a girl, he does not matter." That remark had Zachnephane spinning about to face the elder boy, anger flashing in his red eyes. "Would you care to say that again?" Zach asked in a low, even voice. "Do you deny it?" "He matters to me." Deneen paused and wisely nodded, and when Zachnephane turned around, muttered, "Would that any of the rest of us had." That retort stopped Zachnephane in his tracks. For a moment he felt regret, guilt. But only for a moment. Only until he considered the source, a clear reminder that this one was not being genuine, that this one was never genuine. In this instance, Deneen was trying to gain some minor advantage. The ploy showed Zack just how threatened Deneen must feel by his younger brother, a lad who had not even yet passed his 7th birthday. "I have trained you to the best of my abilities," he replied, not bothering to look back. "If you are still inadequate, that is because of your own limitations, not mine." "Or perhaps because of the breeding?" Deneen offered. And now Zack did stop and spin about once more. "That is the incitement of this rush, is it not? Tomorrow is Drizzt's 7th birthday. "Why do you even remember it, if it is not important?" "Because the other celebration is important, and will be mentioned by Matron Malice, for that is also the 7th anniversary of my ascension to Elder Boy of House Doerden." Zachnephane had to nod. That anniversary, not Drizzt's birthday, was why he had been sent out to personally select a rothe cow for the family meal. Not Deneen's ascension, of course, but because this was the anniversary of House de Werden's move to become the ninth house of Menzo Berenzon. "A most fortunate coincidence, you will agree?" Deneen asked. Zaknafane shrugged, as if it did not matter, but his nonchalance wasn't buying him anything. He understood from Deneen's grin. "I hurry because we must be there, and be presentable in time for the celebration," he said finally. "The least of the three events, no doubt." The unending sarcasm of this one. Yet Zaknafane couldn't argue with any of Deneen's reasoning, and he found that he didn't want to. So he merely laughed and shrugged again. "You are observant," he said. "Your mind is keen. Your thoughts ever forward. Matron Malice is fortunate to have you as her elder boy. She knows it, too." Deneen seemed caught off guard by that. Of course he was. When had Zaknafane ever complimented him? "You think I care nothing for you, but that is not true," Zaknafane told him, and with some sincerity. "You are in my charge. I am trusted to prepare you, to ever prepare you, along with every other warrior of House de Werden. Not nearly to the same level." "True enough. But it is out of fear of Matron Malice, not love of elder boy Deneen." "Perhaps a bit," Zaknafane admitted. "But I am not your enemy. I have never been your enemy. And unless you give me reason, I will never be your enemy. I am the one who dismisses the whispers, elder boy." Zaknafane played those last two lines over in his head now as he trotted through House de Werden. He had accomplished much in those tunnels beside Deneen. He had gained a measure of the elder boy's trust, perhaps, but more than that, those last two lines had left Deneen no room to wriggle. Because the whispers was a reference that had struck Deneen profoundly. Zaknafane knew the truth of Nalfane's demise, and Deneen needed Zaknafane to keep dismissing the rumors of that truth. Yes, Zaknafane didn't have to worry that Deneen might look for advantage at Drizzt's expense. So he had properly relayed his message to Deneen, and now he was back in House de Werden, nearing the chapel, nearing his son, happy for the first time in days. Then he heard the whimper, then the growl, a young boy's groan between tightly clenched teeth. Zaknafane peeked in, and he sucked in his breath when he saw Drizzt. The boy sat on the side of the room, on the floor, stripped to the waist, and with his left hand reaching back over his right shoulder, fingers gingerly touching a new wound there, the two punctures of a viper's strike, dots of blood visible. That wasn't all. This new wound was surrounded by scars all too familiar to Zaknafane and all males in Menzo Berenzon. Scars made by the fangs of the vipers when the priestess struck with her scourge, then dragged it along the victim's back. This latest strike showed no trails of the dragging fangs, but the one beside it surely did. "It is not so bad," he heard Virna say as he moved to the door of the chapel. "Only Silas bit you, and her bite is more pain than damage." Then her tone changed rapidly. "Quit looking at me," Virna demanded, and lifted her scourge threateningly. "Do you want more?" "Why?" came the boy's answer, one full of innocence and pain and confusion. Zaknafane noted the movement as Virna rocked back on her heels. "You must learn, idiot child," she said. "You must learn your place and hone your abilities. You can do well for a mere boy, a mere man in this city. But if you do not learn your place, if you do not hold it strong in your heart, then know that you will suffer a most cruel fate." "Like being whipped by those wicked vipers?" Drizzt asked, and Zaknafane's eyes widened, his heart caught somewhere between swelling pride and a terrible fear that Drizzt would meet a swift end if he could not learn to curb his own venom. Virna snorted. "Hardly. You cannot imagine the pleasure the matron will take in tormenting you, or the end result of her torture. If you are lucky, you will die." "Do all women take pleasure in such pain?" The question came from a place of innocence, Zak understood, as did Virna, apparently, for instead of lifting her whip, she fell farther back upon her heels. If I don't teach you, you will be horribly punished, she said at length. Better me than another. Zack believed it. He had heard mumblings about and from Virna about her ween mother status overseeing the growth of Drizzt. She would likely have become a high priestess by now if her studies hadn't been interrupted by the unexpected survival of this child. Zack snuck in for a better view. His grimace deepened when those scars came more clearly into view. His boy's back had been truly dug. But not by Virna, Zack Nafane realized, for the wound showed several parallel sets of scars. Virna wasn't yet a high priestess. That she carried a snake-headed scourge at all was unusual. Hers had only two writhing snakes. The one that had made the marks on Drizzt had many more. Zack Nafane nodded, recognizing the mark of a certain Doerden. His hand went to his sword pommel, murder in his red eyes. He took a deep breath. He earned it, I trust, Zack said lightly, standing straight and walking past the pews openly, as if he hadn't been trying to sneak in or conceal himself at all. Virna, clearly uneasy, jumped at the sound of his voice. She spun on Zack Nafane, her expression roiling through a series of emotions, ending with a look of superiority, the priestess scowl that Zack knew so well. A look that seemed to say, of course Drizzt had earned it, if for no other reason than his gender. She couldn't hold it, though, and Zack Nafane silently hoped that was because of her lack of conviction. As far as he could tell, in the 7 years Virna had been tutoring Drizzt as his ween mother, she had been far less cruel than most others he had known in such a role. His mind wanders, Virna said to Zack, and scolded Drizzt at the same time, turning her disapproving scowl upon him. She looked up to a statue set in the wall above the boy. He can reach it. I've seen him float up there to polish the whole of it in one levitation. But his thoughts are elsewhere, always elsewhere. I polished it yesterday, Drizzt complained, and Virna's eyes and nostrils flared.
And you will polish it again, and now, Zack Nafane said, before she could scold him. It is important. This is your place. The reward is tomorrow, young Doerden.
But the punishment is immediate, Virna warned, one of the snakes on her scourge hissing, the other slithering up and around her arm. Sighing, Drizzt gathered up his shirt, beginning his levitation before he had even pulled it over his head, enacting the Dreamer so fully with his own innate magical abilities that he didn't even need to wait to touch the house emblem pinned to the garment. As he floated up, Zack turned to Virna with a smile.
Parthua mea uluvos, delil orthe scaur lueth jalm, delil belbo kahal,
Zack Nafane said in a sing-song manner, an old drow saying usually reserved for girls. This one seems to need less of the holy lash and more of the cake. Virna's nostrils flared again. He had gone too far, perhaps, Zack Nafane understood, and he quickly dismissed himself and moved away, not wanting to make things any worse for Drizzt, certainly. He went to his own chambers to change from his trail-weathered clothes, then to Matron Malice's palatial suite to announce his return. He was surprised when the female guards led him into the private chambers to find most of the house nobles there beside Malice, Brisa, Maya, Patron Risen, Denin. Zack Nafane gauged the mood quickly, and it was not one expected on the eve of a grand celebration. Almost as soon as he was announced by the guards, who then departed, Priestess Virna entered the room. The timing, Zack suspected, was not coincidental.
I have done all the tasks you assigned me, Matron, Zack Nafane said with a bow.
Not secretly enough, the woman replied, drawing a curious look from Zack, for Malice hadn't mentioned any secrecy to him when she had sent him forth. Indeed, how might one be secret when procuring special rothe from the tenders on the island? How might one be secret when going out among a drow patrol and replacing a noble warrior with a house commoner? How might one be secret to the other houses of Menzo Berenzon when delivering an essay to Arak Tinalith? Every major house in the city, every middling house in the city, kept eyes on that structure above all others.
There is too much whispering, Matron Malice announced, standing dramatically and waving her arm out to encompass all the nobles in the room. There will be no celebration tomorrow, no Belbo Cahal.
That brought a series of groans and murmurs from the others, one that seemed a bit too practiced to Zacnafane. Beside him, Birna shifted uncomfortably, and she wilted beneath his gaze when he more carefully regarded her.
We cannot have the ruling council see us celebrating on the anniversary of House de Vere's demise, Matron Malice went on. There is too much whispering about complicity at this time, perhaps signaling too much whispering among members of this very house.
Zack noted that her gaze kept lingering on him as she spoke, and it was all he could do to suppress a laugh at the ridiculousness of it all. Everyone in Menzo Baranzon knew what had happened to House de Vere. Everyone. But then Zack realized that she wasn't talking about whispers regarding House de Vere's fall. No, she was playing one of her games, one aimed at him. She turned to her eldest daughter, the ever-vicious Brisa, and nodded. "He is still in the chapel?" Brisa asked, moving swiftly for the door, hand falling to the handle of her six-headed scourge.
Virna muttered an affirmation.
"What did you do?" Zacnafane quietly demanded of Virna.
"What did you do?" Matron Malice corrected him sharply. "What did you dare to do?"
"I did nothing," a flummoxed Zack replied.
"The boy will be given to you for training when it is time," Malice said to him. "Until then, he is not your matter, not your student, none of your business. The breaking of a child is the domain of the Ween Mother alone, except for others I sometimes call into play."
As she finished, the room's door shut hard, Brisa departing. Zacnafane lowered his head, both to appear humble and to hide his building rage. This wasn't any training technique for Drizzt, he knew, even though his son was about to be whipped severely. No, this was Malice training him, reminding him, after all, that he was just a man, a very small man in a matriarchal world. Jarlaxle was stopped in his tracks when he went into the Using My Conid that same night. He had just returned from a private and secret meeting with Mistress Sosumtu, with the topic of House de Werden, and an unexpected visit from Zacnafane, who was known to the Bayenries as an old associate of Jarlaxle, had come up. Thus he was still thinking of his old friend when he returned to his tavern, only to find none other than Zacnafane de Werden sitting there at his old corner table along the back wall. Jarlaxle closed his uncovered eye and stared at the weapon master through the magic of his eye patch, hardly believing that his friend, whom he had not seen in several years, was sitting at his old table, hunched over his drink, looking so much like the same Zacnafane Simfrey who had first come into this place. The mercenary leader moved to the bar and collected a drink of his own, then waved off unimportant questions from his minions and made his way directly to Zacnafane's table, dropping into a seat across from the weapon master as comfortably as he might slip on his old shoes. "To old times," he said, lifting his glass in toast. Zacnafane stared at him cautiously for just a moment, then nodded and lifted his glass, clinking it against Jarlaxle's. "I am quite pleased, dare I say honored, that you have returned to my most humble establishment," Jarlaxle said.
"You can say it, but I won't believe it," Zacnafane answered, bringing a wide grin to Jarlaxle's face.
"You see right through me, alas, like a skinny gelatinous cube." This time, Zack led the toast. "Yet you remain as opaque as black pudding to me," Jarlaxle said as they clinked glasses again.
"No one who has ever known Jarlaxle would believe such a thing. But that is the charm of your lies. Everyone knows you're lying, but most spend too much time trying to find a purpose in the falsehoods. I know you better than that, Jarlaxle. I know that the charm is the point, nothing more, usually.
And you can tell the difference and discern those times when there is more?
Of course.
I have heard such things before.
From who?
No one who lived long enough for you to know them, or who died honorably enough for me to tell you about them.
Zacnafane considered that for just a moment, then shrugged and took another drink.
"It is good to see you again," Jarlaxle said after a few moments, moments during which Zacnafane's eyes drifted to the side absently,
Something was bothering him.
I need your help, Zack said, turning his gaze intensely upon the mercenary leader.
Jarlaxle didn't reply.
I know, Zack said. I have avoided you for years, and here I am, coming to you when my own situation demands it of me.
I understand. You are my friend, Jarlaxle interrupted. There are not many who I can proclaim possess that label. If you need my help and did not come to me, then I would be offended.
Zaknafane nodded. Get me out of here.
Out of?
The city. I need you to get me out of the city.
In hiding? Do you plan to run away from Menzo Baranzon?
No, nothing like that. I would just leave now, but not forever. For the first time, I have a more compelling reason than my own weakness to stay.
The second boy, Jarlaxle reasoned, and Zaknafane nodded. And why leave? The mercenary leader asked.
For him, the second boy. My son Drizzt, Zack explained.
Malice uses matron malice, Jarlaxle sternly corrected, and when Zack froze in a surprised stare, Jarlaxle couldn't hold the joke and gave a laugh.
Do tell, my friend. What is that vile witch doing now?
She uses Drizzt to punish me and control me, by punishing him most severely, Zack explained. There is little I can do to help him in the next few years. I can barely get near to him. And when I do, Malice often shows me just how foolish I was to interfere with her designs.
So you would leave the child to Malice for the sake of the child?
As foolish as that sounds, I cannot do anything but leave the child to Malice, and in those moments of weakness when I think otherwise, I am fast reminded at Drizzt's expense.
It is no small thing that you ask, Jarlaxle said after considering Zack's request for a short while.
Malice will not easily let you go, and woe to Drizzt, I fear, if you just run out.
Nay, I cannot just run out. I want you to arrange it, and in a manner where Malice cannot refuse.
Jarlaxle sat back and rubbed his face. He had only one extra Menzo Baranzon mission on his docket, and that involved a very complicated and dangerous situation, one that could blow back badly on a house associated with anyone involved on Bregendier's side. Otherwise, this particular mission would fit Zaknafane's wishes perfectly.
What do you know of House Hunsrin? Jarlaxle asked.
Hunsrin? Zack asked with obvious surprise. The Stoneheads? I was just on Donnygarden securing a Rothe from a daughter of House Hunsrin. A minor house, yes?
One no one would mention except for their stewardship of the fields and cattle of Donnygarden.
Not so minor, and that perception will change, Jarlaxle assured him. They control most of the city's farms.
But they are weak.
In the city, yes. But they have tendrils, ones that must be tended and occasionally clipped. Understand, they are in the favor of Lolf, and more than that, in the favor of the eight houses of the ruling council. All eight, even Oblodra.
This sounds like an assassination, Zaknafane said. You ask me to kill someone in exchange for your actions to get me out of the city?
Well, if it is a priestess of Lolf, I agree.
Would that it were that easy, Jarlaxle replied.
No, this will involve much more than that, both in danger and in cleverness. I hesitate.
Because I am neither dangerous nor clever? Zaknafane asked with a snort.
Oh, you are both, perhaps more than almost any person I have ever known who was not born to great power. But there are implications here beyond you, implications to House Doerden, unless we are very careful.
We are always very careful.
I fear that I may have to recount a story about the two of us running across the webbing balconies of Chedna Saat.
There were three of us, Zaknafane reminded, and Jarlaxle winced at the reference to Arathis Hune, who had once been the mercenary leader's closest ally and principal advisor.
In that too, Zack continued, I was careful and clever and very dangerous. Mortally so. Indeed, I'm still working on things. There is much for me to consider. and much groundwork to be laid, Jarlaxle explained. When can you return to me?
It will be 10 days at least, I expect, before I can again sneak out from House Doerden.
Good, I will need that time, and perhaps more, to properly sort through this possibility.
And if it is not possible?
Then I will find another way to help you remove yourself from Menzo Berenzon for an extended respite, Jarlaxle promised.
Zaknafane nodded, then finished his drink with one great gulp and rose from his seat. With only a slight nod to his old friend, the weapon master left the tavern for House Doerden.
You heard? Jarlaxle asked Priestess Damne, who came up to the table as soon as Zaknafane was gone.
Only the end. You think to involve Zaknafane in our dealings with House Hunsrin? He is closely associated with a prominent house, she warned. You could well start a war.
I always profit in war, Jarlaxle glibly replied.
How great your profit if Zaknafane is killed? Damne asked. How great your guilt if he is not, but his child is?
Not so great, Jarlaxle admitted. And that is why we must be clever.
Can you tell me that you would be distressed to have Zaknafane by your side again when you venture into the wilds of the Underdark?
Dabney's answer came as a smile, one she let linger for several heartbeats before asking,
You think Matron Malice will let him go?
That is the easy part, Jarlaxle replied. What may happen when he is gone is far more challenging.
Hearing his own words as he spoke them, sent the mercenary leaning back in contemplation. Did he really want to go this far, this early in the solidification of Breaking the Earth as a powerful force in Menzo Berenzon? By including Zack, he was indeed risking inciting a house war, and one that could be traced back to him. Worse, Jarlaxle knew well that if things went badly out in the tunnels of the Underdark, it was very lucky his entire expeditionary team would be obliterated by the Hunsrins. That would include Zack, no matter his skill. Was it a chance Jarlaxle was willing to take? The passing of the days was interminable for Zaknafane as he went about his duties in House Doerden. As far as he knew, Matron Malice hadn't learned of his secret venture out to the Stench Streets to visit Jarlaxle, or at least she hadn't punished Drizzt for it and had said nothing to Zack. Now the Weapon Master spent his time almost exclusively on the first level, the commoner level of House Doerden, working tirelessly with the House Guards in coordinating their watches and perfecting their fighting formations. He only floated up to the second floor on occasional nights, and only then when Malice summoned him to her bed. He didn't want to do anything to incur the matron's wrath at that time, now that she had a way to truly wound him. The vulnerability. Yes, that. Zaknafane could never have imagined such a feeling of helplessness and profound emotional pain. He thought of the many hours he had spent with the babe in those first days after the fall of House Devere, of the bond he'd formed with Drizzt. Now he suspected those visits, too, had been granted by Malice for exactly this end. Even though her own heart was blackened by the shadow of Lady Loth, she understood the vulnerability of parenthood. She considered it a weakness, no doubt, and she had likely suspected all along that Zaknafane was possessed of such weakness. And she was correct. Zack understood that so clearly now. For the first time in his life, he was terrified of her. For the first time, he knew that she could truly break him. Always she could murder him, torture him, even turn him into a drider. Stubborn Zaknafane could accept those risks. But now, Malice could do all that to Zack's child. She could break him. He was working with a score of warriors out at the lizard stable in the far back end of the first level when the courier rushed in, anxious and out of breath from hustling.
Zaknafane, weapon master, she gasped when she saw Zack. Every step she took in her run to Zack thumped in his heart as if someone were beating it with a drumstick. The young woman skidded to an abrupt stop, nearly crashing into him despite her exceptional drow agility, and thrust a parchment out at him. To the throne room with you at once by order of Matron Malice, she blurted. I am in the middle of— At once, the woman yelled at him. I am to accept no excuse by order of Matron Malice. There is no excuse. At once.
Zack pulled the parchment from her hand,
reading it as he departed, then throwing it aside when he saw that it was nothing more than a signed note from Malice, telling him to appear at once, without a hint of the reason. He feared he knew the reason. He feared for Drizzt. He tried very hard to keep his stride solid and assured as he crossed the room toward the dais where Malice sat, flanked by her three daughters. He took some comfort in the fact that not one of them, not even Breeza, seemed happy at that moment, as they surely would have been, particularly Breeza, if there was a brutal punishment soon to come. He focused on Virna for the last few strides, but her expression was impassive, almost bored.
"You have been rarely seen of late," Malice said to him, as he moved before the stairs to the throne and bowed appropriately.
"I have not left the house."
"You have spent little time among the nobles."
"We have not been to war in 7 years," Zack explained. "I fear that those less devout among us have lost their way in any fighting beyond singular combat. These are lessons that must be renewed, and so I—"
"Yes, yes, yes," Malice dismissed the notion. "I am sure that we will be well served by your efforts. But you are the weapon master, and your duties are far beyond moving the pawns into formation."
"I am available to the elder boy or to any of the nobles if they wish private training."
"Enough with your talk of training, you insipid fool," Matron Malice scolded. "You are one of the prime faces of House Doerden. Your most important role is to please me at my whim. Beyond that, you are to present Domenzo Baranzon at large, and not just to those within, the strength of our house."
"You would have me go out into the city?"
"Not to the stench streets, if that is what you are hinting," the matron was quick to reply. "No, but there are other opportunities that arise from time to time that I expect you to embrace, and so to shine brilliantly upon the ninth house of Menzo Baranzon."
"At your service always, great Matron Malice," he said with another bow.
"Such an opportunity has been offered to us this day," Malice explained. "Matron Bayenri has sent a note to me of an expedition departing the city very soon, aiming at sacking a fledgling city of filthies Verfneblin. We have gnomes to conquer, and I expect your personal victories to exceed any of the others."
"Of course, Matron Malice," Zack replied, keeping his head bowed, for he was trying to work through this news. Was this Jarlaxle's expedition undercover? Or was there really a deep gnome band nearby that needed to be conquered?
"Arrive at the north gate when Narbondel's light has climbed the height of a single woman. Report to—"
She paused and read the name on a parchment she held.
"Report to City Scout Beniago Kurth of the First House, who will lead the group."
Zaknafane quietly breathed a huge sigh of relief. Beniago Kurth was indeed a nobleman of that most powerful house, but he was also one of the most important diplomats and scouts in Jarlaxle's Bregendierth. Zaknafane had found his escape.